one verse is kind of the subject for this morning's sermon. If you look at verse number 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And I want to talk about the fact that the Bible teaches that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, you may not be familiar with the word steward, and honestly, we could preach a whole sermon, we could preach a whole series on just that word, being a steward. But a steward is an officer who manages the affairs or represents a monarch or a noble. And throughout the Bible, you will see that. If you remember the parable of the talents, you had the good man of the house, and he gave talents to different stewards. And it's like an ambassador. It's an official role where you're kind of the right-hand man of an individual. And usually it's a king or a noble who's maybe far away, and he needs somebody to take care of business there locally. And he has a steward that is supposed to help him, that is supposed to act on his behalf. And you need to understand that every one of us have been called to be a steward or an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We serve a king that is in a faraway kingdom, and he has given us the ministry of being able to help him and work with him and represent him and do his work here on earth. And you need to understand this, that God has commissioned you and God has commissioned me to be stewards. And God wants to use us in the capacity of being a steward. And I believe that if you're in church on a Sunday morning, you obviously believe in God or love God. Or I don't think that any of us would say that we do not want to be used of God in our lives. And it's interesting because the Bible tells us here that if you are going to be a steward that is going to be used of God, there is a requirement that you be found faithful. Now here's what's interesting. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and look at verse number 26. I want you to understand something. God does not require much from you in order to use you. If you want to be used of God, God does not require a lot. God does not have high standards for the people He uses. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and verse number 26, the Bible says this, "For ye see your calling, brethren." The word calling there is referring to what God has called you to do. The fact that He's called you to be used of Him, to be a steward, to represent Him in this world. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren." Now notice what He says. "How that not many wise." Okay? So sometimes people say to me, like, "I can't be used of God because, you know, I'm just not that wise. I'm just not that smart. I'm just not that knowledgeable." But look, God says, "Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So you say, "Well, I'm not wise. I'm not mighty. I'm not noble." But God says, "I don't call the wise." He says, "I don't call the noble." He said, "I don't call the mighty." Look at verse 27. He says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world." You say, "Well, I'm kind of foolish. I'm just not all there, you know, and I just don't have the capacity that other people have, the IQ, the education." He says, "Look, God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty." Verse 28. "And the base things of this world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are." So here's what's interesting. God does not have really high standards for who He uses. And if you need any proof of that, look at the people that God uses. He doesn't have high standards. He doesn't say you need to be noble. He doesn't say you need to be wise. He doesn't say you need to be educated. He doesn't say you need to be mighty. He doesn't say you have to have connections. He says, "Look, I'll make up for all the things that you lack." And in fact, God says it's even better if you lack. It's even better if you don't have a lot to offer, because when you don't have a lot to offer, then God is the one that gets the glory for using you. But here's what's interesting. First, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says you don't have to be wise. He says you don't have to be noble. He says you don't have to be, you know, all these different things. But he said you do have to have, he says there's one requirement for me to be able to use you. He says there's one thing I can't make up for. Look at verse 2 again. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I want to talk about for just a few moments and teach a lesson on the subject of faithfulness. And this is something that generally around this time as we go into summer, I like to preach and teach on the subject of faithfulness, because as we go into summer, guess what we tend to start being is not very faithful. You know, we get into vacation mode, we get into summer mode, we get into, you know, let's play mode. And I'm all for vacations, I'm all for summer, I'm all for playing, I'm all for spending time with the family. I'm all for all of that. But let's remember that God says, I've got a requirement. If I'm going to use you, I've got a requirement. There's one thing. I can make up for the rest. I can make up for all the things you lack. I can make up for the things that you don't have, the talent and the connections. He said, I can make up for all that. But it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I'd like us to kind of look at this subject, as, especially just as we're going into summer, the subject of being faithful and being found faithful. And you need to understand, go to the book of Psalms with me. If you open up your Bible, just right in the center, you hear me say this all the time, but it's just easy to explain. If you open up your Bible, just right in the center, you'll more than likely find the book of Psalms. It's right in the center of your Bible. And I'd like to explain to you not only the requirement of faithfulness, but the fact that faithfulness is valued highly by God. There is a value in faithfulness, and we see this in Scripture. If you look at Psalm 12 and look at verse 1, Psalm 12 and verse 1, the Bible says this: to the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. Now notice what he says. He says, "Help, Lord." He's asking God for assistance. He's saying, "Lord, I need help." Why? He says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases." He said, the godly man is disappearing. Now notice what he says at the end of the verse. He says, "For the faithful fail from among the children of men." He says, "Lord, we need help." Lord, we need help down here. What? God would say, "Well, what do you need help?" He says, "Because the godly man is disappearing, the godly man is ceasing, and the faithful fail from among the children of men." Here's what he's saying: the faithful are failing at being faithful. He says, the faithful are not doing a good job of being faithful. And he says, "Help." Go to Proverbs. You're there in Psalm? The very next book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. The value of faithfulness. The value of faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. The Bible says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." Now notice this question though. "But a faithful man, who can find?" But a faithful man, who can find? You see, it almost seems like God is frustrated. He said, it's hard. He said, "The faithful man faileth." He said, "I can't find a faithful individual. I can't find a faithful man." Go to Proverbs 25. Look at verse 13. You're there, Proverbs 20? Proverbs 25, verse 13. Here's an interesting verse. Proverbs 25, verse 13. The Bible says, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest." Now, you got to understand that picture word. That word picture. He's talking about being out in the field, you're harvesting, it's hot, you're working, you're sweating, and he says, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his master." He's saying, look, imagine you're just out in the field, you're working, it's hot, you're sweating, and someone just offers you an ice cold drink. And you just drink that water. You're just so thirsty, you drink that water. He says, that's what a faithful messenger is like to the hand of the person that sends him. And you know, you got to understand, and you know, there might have been a time in my life where I read these verses, kind of moved on from them and didn't really understand them. But I'll tell you this, as a pastor, I have learned, like, the value of these verses. Because, you know, in our society today, we have just been raised in a society where children are just taught to be lazy. Children have just been taught to not keep their word. And we've raised a bunch of adults that are just not faithful, not consistent. And, you know, today, just in our society today, when someone ever says to me, like, "Pastor, I'm going to do this. Pastor, I'm going to take care of this. Pastor, I'm going to be here at this time to take care of this," I just assume that they're not going to do it. Because I've just gone to the place where it's just like, the faithful man failed. Who can find a faithful man? Who can find a person you can count on? Who can find a person you can trust? And when you do, when somebody says to me like, "Pastor, I'm going to take care of this," and then they do it, it's like, whoa! It's like a cold drink of water on a hot day. It's like a breath of fresh air. I mean, someone that actually does what they said they were going to do. Someone that actually, you know, like, "Pastor, I'm going to be here at this time, and I'm going to take care of this for you." And then when they do it, it's just like, whoa! Because there's a value in faithfulness. And today, God is looking down from heaven. And let me tell you something. Employers are looking down from their office and looking down at their employees and saying, "Where's the faithful man that I can hire? Where's the faithful man that I can promote?" And we've got to understand that today, the faithful are failing.
flesh.
And it's one thing that the world is just inconsistent. It's one thing that the world is just a bunch of hypocrites and liars, and they say that they're going to do something and they don't do it and they go back on their work. But it's another thing for those of us who call ourselves stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ and ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ to not be found faithful. There's no value in faithfulness. And today, the faithful man is disappearing. Go to Proverbs chapter. Keep your finger in Proverbs 25. We're going to come right back to it. But go to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. You know, you may be wondering, like, what does it mean to be faithful? What does it mean to be a faithful man? And I'll give you a couple examples to kind of draw out the definition for you. But it's more than just the examples that are given here. But, you know, we could go to every verse that has the word faithful or faithfulness, but we'd be here all day. But let me just give you a couple examples. Proverbs chapter number 11, look at verse 13. The Bible says, a talebearer reveals secrets. So a talebearer is someone you cannot trust. If you give them a secret, they're going to tell everybody. But, notice the contrast. He that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, we're not talking about sin here, okay? We're not talking about somebody hiding something that's wrong. And I'll show you that in a second. But here's what we find out about a faithful person. It's someone you can count on. It's someone you can trust. It's someone, you know, I used to know, my wife and I used to go to church where we knew a pastor. We're like, you know, he did pastoral counseling. And let me just tell you right now. Like, if you went into his office, you better just be ready. Like, anything you said to him, just be ready for the rest of the church to know. Because, like, the guy just could not keep a secret, you know? And I'm not talking about simple, you know, I'm talking about you go to someone and you kind of just need to count. You know, people come to me all the time and with personal matters, and I don't tell anybody. I don't go around telling people their business. But, I mean, there are some people that are just like, if you tell something, just, you know, he's going to tell everybody else. And the word faithful there is showing us that someone who's faithful, someone you can trust, someone you can have confidence in, someone you can count on. You know, if you say, hey, can I share this with you? And it's just something I don't want the whole world to know. And you can have confidence that they're not going to tell you. Go to Proverbs 14, look at verse 5. Proverbs 14, verse 5. And then in Proverbs 11, Proverbs 14, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, a faithful witness, and this is why we're not talking about sin here, because look, a faithful witness will not lie. But a false witness will utter lies. So what does that mean? A faithful man is someone you can trust. They're not going to lie to you. They're going to tell you the truth. They're not going to lie. Now notice the contrast. Go back to Proverbs 25 and look at verse 19. And let me show you what an unfaithful person is. Just so you can get the definition of what it means to be faithful. Proverbs 25 and verse 19, we were just there a minute ago. Proverbs 25:19 says this. Confidence, okay, that's a word that kind of describes what you can do with a faithful person. Confidence in an unfaithful. So here's the confidence in someone that's not faithful. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Do you see that? Here's what God's trying to explain to us, okay? It's like, you know, if you've ever had like a broken tooth, if you've ever had like a tooth that brings you a lot of pain, you know, and you're like really hungry and you got a big old nice hamburger and you were getting ready to bite into it, but guess what? You know, I just bite into it. Arr, and I'm starving. But someone that's got a broken tooth, they're kind of like, they can't just really dive into it. They kind of like have to see how they're going to handle this. And that's what an unfaithful, working with an unfaithful person, that's what it's like. You ever work with somebody who's just like, doesn't pull their weight, they're always late, they're not on time, they don't do what they said they're going to do. You know, you can't really just jump into it. You're just kind of like waiting to see, like, are they going to do what they said they're going to do? That's what an unfaithful person is. A faithful individual is someone you can count on. They say they're going to do something, they're going to be there. They're going to be at a certain place at a certain time, they're going to do it. You can just count on them, you know they're going to be there. And God says that He wants us to be the type of person that is going to be faithful. Now you got to understand this. Go, you know, let's leave Proverbs. Go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel. You've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then 1 Samuel. All right, 1 Samuel, chapter number 2. And let me kind of, we're going to just jump into a little bit of a story here, and I'll try to give you a little bit of the background just to see something real quick. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we find the high priest Eli. Remember, Samuel had been brought into the mix here. Samuel was brought in to Eli's household to be raised as a priest. But you have Eli the high priest, who has two unfaithful sons. Now notice verse 22. We're not going to read the entire story, just a little bit of the context. 1 Samuel 2:22 says this. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. The sons of Eli were wicked sinners. Now notice what happens. He heard all that his sons and how they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. These were wicked guys. Women were coming to the house of God to bring an offering to God, and they were laying with them. They were having a physical relationship, fornicating with these women. I mean, these are wicked priests. And their dad, who's the high priest, who's the boss, he heard of these things that his sons were doing. Look at verse 23. And he said unto them, now notice what he says to them, okay? Why do ye such things? Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Now listen to me. Does this sound like Eli is in agreement with what his sons are doing? No. I mean, he's saying, why are you doing this? He's saying, this is, you're making God's people to sin. He says, this is wrong. You shouldn't do this. So where does Eli stand on the subject? On the side of God. Was Eli sleeping with women in the tabernacle? No, he wasn't. Was Eli for what his sons were doing? No, he wasn't. He was against it. But notice verse 25. If one man, this is what he's telling his sons, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord was slain. Now here's, he's telling his sons, like, hey, God's going to slay you. God's not okay with this. This is sin. This is wrong. Okay, so I want you to understand this. Eli believed the right thing, did he not? I mean, Eli believed, this is wrong, you guys should not be doing this. But here was Eli's problem, and we're not going to go into all of it. He did not agree with it, but he also didn't do anything about it. And he was the boss. They were priests, he was the high priest. They were sons, he was the dad. He had the power to stop it. And he tells them, I don't agree with this, I don't think it's right, but his actions did not match up with what he believed. Skip down to verse 34. God sends a man of God to talk to Eli. Notice what God says to Eli. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day shall they die both of them. Look at verse 35. And I will raise me up a, don't miss this, faithful priest. Now you say, well, Eli didn't sleep with the women. Eli didn't do all those bad things. Eli didn't agree with what his sons were doing. Was Eli not a faithful priest? According to God, Eli was not a faithful priest. Why? Notice what he says. Look at verse 35. 1 Samuel 2:35. And I will raise me up a faithful priest. And he says, I'm gonna get rid of you, Eli, and I'm going to get a faithful priest. And here's the difference between you and a faithful priest. Notice what he says. That shall do according to that which is in my heart. See, you got to understand this. Faithfulness has nothing to do with what you believe. Faith has to do with what you believe. We've been learning all about faith on Sunday nights as we've been going through Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Faith has everything to do with what you believe. Faithfulness has everything to do with what you do. You can say all day long, Eli, I'm against what my sons are doing. I think it's wrong. I think it's a sin. They shouldn't be doing it. And that may be great faith, but you're not faithful until you do something about it. See, people say, oh, I believe in soul winning. I believe we ought to go out and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's great faith. When do you show up for soul winning? See, there's a difference between what you believe and what you do. You can believe a lot of good things. You can believe that you ought to be faithful to church. You can believe that you ought to put God first in your life. You can believe that you ought to go soul winning. You can believe that you ought to read your Bible. You can believe that you ought to pray. You can believe that we should walk with God and talk with God and love God. But are you doing it? Because look, faith is what you believe. Faithfulness is what you do. And you are not faithful until you're doing what you believe. Right. Eli, you believe, right? But you're not doing it. And God says, I'm going to get rid of you, Eli, because in order for me to use you, Eli, it is required in a steward that a man be found. Not with faith, but faithful. You can get saved with faith, but you've got to be used until you're faithful. And he says, faithfulness has to do with what you do. Faith is what you believe. Faithfulness is what you do. Faith is what you think. Faith is what you agree with. Faithfulness is what your actions do. Now, there are areas for us to be faithful, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but let's just look at some of them. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And look at verse number 19. Deuteronomy chapter number 17 and verse 19. Let me just give you some practical areas that you ought to be faithful in. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 19. I believe that the Holy Spirit will guide you, and we all know in areas that we're lacking in, and we all know areas that we could be more faithful in. Deuteronomy 17, verse 19. Deuteronomy 17, 19 says this. Deuteronomy, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17, 19. 19 says, this is God was talking to the kings of Israel about His Word. Notice what He says. Deuteronomy 17:19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. God expected his kings, and by the way, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that when you got saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, you became a king and a priest before God. So this applies to you. And God tells us that he expects his kings to take God's word and read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law and these statutes to do them. Go to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah, towards the end of the New Testament, you got those big prophetic books. Isaiah is the first of the major prophets. Isaiah 34, look at verse 16. Isaiah 34 and verse 16, if you're not able to keep up, just write these down on your sermon notes page and you can look them up later. Isaiah 34, look at verse 16. Isaiah 34, 16 says this, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. None shall want her made. For my mouth they have commanded, and in spirit they have gathered." And God tells us to seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. So here's a question. I'm not asking, do you believe that God's word is powerful? You say, I believe God's word is powerful. That's your faith. I believe that God's word can change my life. That's your faith. I believe that God's word has the answers for all the problems that I have in life. That's your faith. I'm asking this. Are you reading your Bible every day? Because that's your faithfulness. Well, I believe, but what are you doing? Well, I believe, I think that God's word can help me. Well, are you reading it faithfully? Because you can have faith, but if you're going to be used of God, you've got to be faithful. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Towards the end of the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, you got all those T-books. You got 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You may want to keep a ribbon or something there in those T-books because we're going to be coming back to it towards the end of the sermon. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 17. Very short verse. You know, most of you probably haven't memorized, but I like to look at the verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, very simple verse. Pray without ceasing. It means to pray without stopping. Now here's a question, and I'm not asking, do you believe in prayer? I'm not asking, do you believe the power of prayer? I'm not asking, do you believe that prayer works? I'm not asking, do you believe that God answers prayer or that God hears a prayer? Because do you believe all that has to do with your faith? I'm asking, are you praying every day? Because that has to do with your faith. I believe it has to do with your faith. What I do has to do with your faith. Areas that we should be faithful in our lives. Bible reading. You ought to be reading your Bible every day. You say, well, Pastor, it's summer and it's hot and it's nice outside and there's pools and there's this and there's that and we're on vacation. But look, read your Bible every day. Be a good steward and be found faithful. Pray every day. Be found faithful. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You're there in towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews, right before the book of James. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at verse 25. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Another area you ought to be faithful in is church attendance. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembling. The assembling is a church. A church is an assembly. That's what the word church means, a congregation. And it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now notice this, as the manner of some is. The word manner means habit. Do you know that the Bible says that there are people who have a habit of forsaking the assembly? And God says, I don't want you to be like the person that has a manner or a habit of forsaking the assembling. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He said, don't forsake the assembling like some people have a habit of doing. But, look what it says, exhorting one another. And by the way, that's why you need church. You know, I get emails from people that listen to the preaching online, and they're like, oh, I listen to your preaching online. And look, I listen to preaching online, and I'm all for people listening to preaching online. We put the preaching on the internet, on YouTube, and on the website, so people can listen to it online. But listen to me, if you sit down in front of a computer and download an MP3, and you listen to a sermon, you have not been in church. That is not church. Church is the assembly of believers coming together. Because guess what joining with other believers does for you, that listening to an MP3 file on the internet does not do for you? You can exhort one another. You can encourage one another. You can talk to other people that are going through things like you're going through. And you can create friendships and you can pray. And they can pray. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And people have to say to me, do you really think you need to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Well, look what God says.
He says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
The day approaching is talking about the day of God's coming, the day of judgment. God says, look, as we get closer to the end of the world, we need more church, not less. We need more of God's Word, not less. We need more of the exhortation, not less. You say, what can I be faithful in? You ought to be faithful in your Bible reading. You ought to be faithful in your prayer time. You ought to be faithful in your church attendance. And let me just go ahead and say this, because, you know, sometimes I preach about this and people get this idea like, well, Ramsey, man, you just want us to come to church and you have somebody to preach to. You don't listen anyway, okay? It doesn't matter. But let me tell you this. I'm not saying you need to come to our church. I'm saying you need to be in church. You go on vacation this summer, I'm all for you going on vacation. I think you need to go on vacation. We need a vacation from you, okay? Go on vacation, do it. But while you're on vacation, go to church. Go find a church. Find you an independent, fundamental, Baptist, King James, Bible-believing, soul-winning church. They're out there. Go find one and get to church. This week, my wife and I were in L.A., and we were recording in Hollywood. And I didn't want my family staying in Hollywood. Because Hollywood is a dump. And some of you vacation there. And you really ought to, you know, reconsider that. Hollywood is filthy. I'm talking about just the sin there. I don't want my kids seeing the billboards there, okay? And we were recording in Hollywood, that's what the recording is. But I put my family in a hotel in Buena Park, which was like 45 minutes away. Which I'm like, 45 minutes, that's okay. I can drive 45 minutes every day to go to the recording studio. The problem was that in L.A., it takes you about 2 hours to come to 45 minutes. Because, you know, the traffic. I mean, I don't know why people like L.A. I mean, there's the beautiful smog, you know, cars everywhere at every time of the day. You know what I mean? It's like, doesn't matter when you get on the freeway, there's just construction and there's traffic, you know. But on Wednesday was the last day that we were recording, and the day kind of went long and some things didn't get done. And I got out of there way late. You know, I'm getting in the car, and I know it's going to take me 2 hours to get to the hotel to pick up my family. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm the only thing I like about L.A. is they're driving. They're crazy drivers. And I'm a crazy driver, so it makes me not look crazy when everybody else is crazy. So it kind of works out, you know. But I'm going through traffic, and I'm like zipping through, and I'm getting through, and I'm, you know, doing all this stuff, and I'm honking at people and trying to get to the hotel as quickly as I can. You know, I'm calling my wife. My wife's like ironing my clothes in the hotel room and bringing them down so I can put them on. They're going to jump in the car so we can get back on the highway so we can get to church, you know. And there was a church we were wanting to go to. That was kind of a church we've heard a lot about. But it was, it just got to the point where we're like, we're not going to make that church. So we found another church. Still a Baptist church, still King James only, still soul winning, but just a smaller church we've never really heard about. But we're like, well, let's just go to that one. It's faster. And let me tell you something. I am the pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church. And you don't think it crossed my mind? Maybe we should just skip church tonight. It crossed my mind. It would have been easier. But you know what? You think I want to teach my kids that we only go to church when we're, you know, as long as we're not on vacation, then we go to church. As long as it's convenient, kids. Right now, it's inconvenient for us to go to church. So we only serve God when it's convenient. I don't want to teach my kids that. So we went to church. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't fun. I wasn't looking forward to it. I knew that it was going to be lame because it wasn't very Baptist church. I knew that the people weren't going to be like you. But hey, we went there because I want my kids to learn. And I want to be found faithful. And you ought to be faithful to church. And when you go on vacation this year, and you go away, praise the Lord for it. We're not mad at you. Go to church. When you go on vacation this year, read your Bible. When you go away, pray with your kids, and still serve and be found faithful. And I'm not saying you need to come to this church. Brother Alessandro, and I apologize for using him as an example. I didn't ask him if I could do it. Brother Alessandro and Ms. Giselle drive from San Jose to our church every week. And I'm thankful for it. And they're faithful at it. They drive every Sunday. They drive here. They stay for Sunday night, for Sunday morning service. They go soul winning in the afternoon. They stay for Sunday night. They go. But, you know, it's impossible for him to come to church on Wednesday. Because of the traffic and the time he gets off work, he can't make it. But guess what? He goes to church. You know, I'm not saying you have to come to this church, but go to church on Wednesday night. Go to church on Sunday night. Find the church and be found faithful. You ought to be faithful in your Bible reading. You ought to be faithful in your prayer time. You ought to be faithful in your church attendance. You ought to be faithful in putting God first. Go to Acts 5:24. Let me give you another area you can be faithful in. Acts 5:24 says this. Acts 5:24. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and of the chief priests heard these things, they doubted themselves whereunto this would grow. That wasn't the verse I wanted. Acts 5:24. Let me get back there. Good night. Must have put the wrong verse there. Go to Acts 20:20. Here's another verse that deals with the same subject. Acts 20:20. Acts 20:20 says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Here we're talking about going out soul winning from house to house and being faithful. It was Acts 5:42. I said Acts 5:24, it was Acts 5:42. See, you can be used of God even if you're dyslexic. Acts 5:42. Go back to Acts 5:42, let me show it to you. Acts 5:42. Well, not Acts 5:24. Acts 5:42 says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You ought to be faithful in your soul money. You ought to be faithful in your witnessing. Say, "Pastor, I'm going on vacation for 3 weeks and I'm not going to be here on Saturday, so go soul winning." Hey, you know what? There's lost people everywhere you go. You don't have to go soul winning in Sacramento. You're out on vacation, you're out, you know, with your family, witness to somebody, give the gospel to somebody, share your faith with somebody, tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We have to be faithful not just when we're in, you know, the mode of in school and at work, and when we go into summer, we go into vacation time, we go into play mode, hey, I'm all for it.
But be faithful.
If you're a soul winner, be soul winner everywhere you go. If you go to church here on Sundays, and you're not here in Sacramento on Sunday, then go to church somewhere on Sunday. And give God the preeminence. You gotta be faithful in your service. You don't have to turn to these. Let me just read them for you. Ephesians 6:21 says, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister." The word minister talks about serving. The ministry is to serve people. And if you serve, you gotta be faithful in your ministry. Colossians 1:7 says, "As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister." Colossians 4:7 says, "All my saints shall Tychicus declare to you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister." Look, if you've got an area of service, if there's a ministry that you have here at Verity Baptist Church or wherever, you ought to be faithful to that ministry. You ought to be faithful in your service. We need to get to the place where we're just faithful in everything we do. Go to Luke chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We saw this verse last week, but I need you to in Luke 16 anyways. So just go to Luke 16. Last week we talked about tithing. Okay, I'm not preaching on tithing, but you ought to be faithful in your giving. You know, and we gave you a challenge last week to tithe.